Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
An executive order on flag burning. It charges your attorney general.
Would you listen to this? This is very important. Flag burning. All over the country, they're burning flags. All over the world, they burn the American flag. And as you know, through a very sad court, I guess it was a 5-4 decision, they called it freedom of speech. But there's another reason, which is perhaps much more important. It's called death. Because what happens when you burn a flag is the area goes crazy. If you have hundreds of people, they go crazy. You can do other things. You can burn this piece of paper. You can.
Yeah, I mean, death caused by nearby flag burning is like the 948th cause of premature death in the United States of America in 1928. What are you talking about? Makes people furious. True. It also makes them angry. Oh, okay. All right, fine. That's two reasons. No, I mean, it's a very serious thing. We're talking about death. And, oh, by the way, the court, the Texas versus Johnson case, the court that heard this, that was a very terrible court. Yeah, it sure was. The majority opinion in this case that said that burning an American flag is protected speech was, Brennan, Blackmun, Scalia. Scalia, terrible jurist. Ah, he's the worst. Oh, my goodness. By the way, a 5-4. I mean, you had Rehnquist, White, O'Connor, and Stevens on the other side. Okay. Well, let's let the president continue to have his say, and then we'll kind of analyze. Because there's more to be said about this than what I've said so far. I've given you the level one reaction. There's more to it. Interesting on his side, actually. So here's more we said.
But when you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry about them doing it.
It just makes people crazy. Well, it makes them worked up. I mean, that's true. But I don't know how often they get out of control. Okay, finally.
And what the penalty is going to be, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. No early exits, no nothing. You get 1 year in jail. If you burn a flag, you get, and what it does is incite to riot. I hope they use that language, by the way. Did they?
Yeah, incitement.
Incite to riot. And you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. You don't get 10 years, you don't get 1 month. You get 1 year in jail, and it goes on your record. And you will see flag burning stopping immediately.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, if you just cut people's arms off, you can stop flag burning. I mean, absolutely. If you don't want them to say bad words, then, you know, just start removing fingers and they'll stop saying bad words. I mean, it's real simple. Okay. What does this have to do with anything? Nothing. It's just another distraction. But the EO is actually a lot more nuanced, as should not surprise you, than the comments by the president in the Oval Office yesterday. By the authority vested in me, the President of the Constitution, the laws of the United States of America is hereby ordered. Section 1, purpose. Our great American flag is the most sacred and cherished symbol of the United States of America and of American freedom, identity, and strength. Over nearly 2.5 centuries, many thousands of American patriots have fought, bled, and died to keep the stars and stripes waving proudly. The American flag is a special symbol in our national life that should unite and represent all Americans of every background and every walk of life. Very interesting term. Desecrating is a uniquely sacred. Desacredizing is what that means. Desecrating is a uniquely offensive and provocative. It is a statement of contempt, hostility, and violence against our nation, the clearest possible expression of opposition to the political union that preserves our rights, liberty, and security. Burning this representation of America may incite violence and riot. American flag burning is also used by groups of foreign nationals as a calculated act to intimidate and threaten violence against Americans because of their nationality and place of birth. It goes on and says, notwithstanding the Supreme Court's rulings on First Amendment protection. So clearly, President Trump knows, as he even mentioned, that the Supreme Court has ruled on this and said that flag burning is protected speech. And it is. It is the most disgusting example, contradictory, inconsistent example of why we protect speech. The right to say you hate the thing that protects your right to say you hate it is the perfect example of free speech. It's not really that important, and yet it's because it's that important, and it's so horrifying, and it's so upsetting and frustrating, is that it is important. No, I don't think very many people are proud of defending flag burning. But you should be, because it's pride in the principle of defending speech that is obnoxious, disgusting, horrible, pointless, hypocritical, all of the above. Again, you're protesting against the nation that protects your right to protest against the nation. But it's because it's the right to protest against the nation that you should protect the speech. That's why the Supreme Court ruled as it did, that it should be protected speech. Now, here's where it gets very interesting. Because notwithstanding the Supreme Court's rulings on First Amendment protections, the court has never held that American flag desecration conducted in a manner that is likely to incite imminent lawless action or that is an action amounting to fighting words is constitutionally protected. In other words, that's a gap in Supreme Court jurisprudence. My administration will act to restore respect and sanctity of the American flag and prosecute those who incite violence or otherwise violate our laws while desecrating this symbol of our country to the fullest extent permissible under any available authority. Let me come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So the president, if you read the EO... And by the way, loads of conservatives yesterday came out and said, this is unbelievably stupid. What are you doing? And also unconstitutional. But then several people also said, but if you read the EO, it's very cagey. It's about inciting to riot. He says, who incite violence or otherwise violate our laws. It's not just flag burning. It's flag burning plus. It's other things. He says, the attorney general shall prioritize the enforcement to the fullest extent possible, which is a weasel word, right? It's a way of saying could be not at all. Says, of our nation's criminal and civil laws against acts of American flag desecration that violate applicable content-neutral laws while causing harm unrelated to expression consistent with the First Amendment. So on the one hand, the EO seems to say no flag burning. What the EO really says is no inciting to riot and violence. And if your flag burning causes a riot, we'll prosecute you for that. And actually, there's a lot of speech that is prohibited or can be limited based on it's the fighting words doctrine, that it can be wrong for you to say certain things. And the classic example is yelling fire in a crowded theater. Well, burning a flag fire in a highly patriotic space that incites a riot, this is what he's targeting. So on the one hand, I think this is unnecessary and dumb and misguided and unconstitutional. And on the other hand, if all it's meant to do is add the ability or respect the ability of government to punish people who incite riot, for instance. So all of the hubbub. But this notion that you burn a flag, you get a year in jail. No, that's insane. And you already had yesterday somebody, a veteran, burn a flag outside of the White House, I think. So, I mean, you know, again, is this something that we're proud of? No, but we should be. Because for all the claims of totalitarianism and authoritarianism, right? Do the Chinese let people burn the Chinese flag outside of the Politburo's offices? You know, that, right? And no. I mean, you know. One dude with a satchel of groceries versus the column of tanks, right? That's the picture you have of China, and not inappropriately. So we don't celebrate the fact that people do it. What we celebrate, and we should celebrate, is the fact that we allow people to do it, the insane, horrible, terrible, hypocritical thing. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payroll, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
Damn, the floor is freezing.
What do you want me to do, fetch your slippers for you?
Gee, would you, sir? I'd like that.
Look into my eye.
Good morning, 6:22 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. We've got the FSU Alabama game coming up this Saturday. What you want to do is you want to open the app between 5 and 5 each day to register. Random winner will be drawn each day, announced at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin. So, you know, you have a chance to win tickets to what should be a really, really interesting game or a really big blowout. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends. You know, could kind of go. Team show up.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what actually happens. Pensacola Seafood Festival comes up about a month, Sunday, September 27th through the 28th. Headliners include Mark Brassard, 90s cover band Mustache, and on Sunday, Corey Smith. So lots of fun for that. And also, just for the rest of this month, as in we're going to end it pretty soon. There's only like a couple of days left. From now to the end of this month, give us feedback on the station through our listener advisory board survey. Just go to newsradio923.com, and it'll pop up. It'll offer you kind of aggressively. Pay attention to me. And then you click on it, you take the survey. It takes a couple of minutes, and you can tell us what you think about various things going on in the station, because it is ultimately to serve you. And if it's not, we want to know how it's not. 6:23, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The Defense Department being ordered by President Trump to establish special National Guard units specifically trained to deal with public order issues. Monday's executive order comes as President Trump continues to talk about the possibility of using the military to enforce law and order in American cities such as Chicago and Baltimore. The House Oversight Committee issuing a new subpoena for the documents held by the estate of Jeffrey Epstein. That committee moving ahead with its probe with a request for his will, any documents resembling a client list, and any black books containing Epstein's contacts, flight logs. And, oh, I know you wanted an update on this. Psycho Stu is doing okay. Psycho Stu is the wrestler that was beaten very severely by Raja Jackson in California the other day. He's apparently woken up, and he's doing a little bit better now. And there's actually a bit of a local connection with this story that you may be interested in.
The sound you're not hearing is me looking at David with my eyebrows raised. Do tell, yeah. Do tell eyes. Go on.
So this company in California where this whole beating incident happened was owned by Rikishi Fatu. Rikishi Fatu, of course, lived in Pensacola for a lot of years.
Okay.
There you go.
I appreciate
bit of a local connection.
All of those words that sound very much like English, but I don't know what any of them mean. So I'm glad you know, and for the people who know, they're glad you said it.
Maybe. I don't know.
David,
I'm just trying to give you
headlines. No, I mean, like, this is a world, it's your world, and it is relevant to local things, and it is in the news. I just, you know, it doesn't, for me, I'm like, I don't know any
Have you
of
come
things.
Across this video at all
no.
in your internet no. Browsing?
No, I ignore a lot of things.
Gotcha. All right.
But that's your job is to supplement the things that I ignore. So that's good. David, thanks for the update. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, even Highway 29 are all looking good this morning.
Oh, Candy's. Candy's got jokes. Come on, Candy. What's your joke?
No.
You said it.
What? Can we go to
Are you trying to
transit?
Use Flex Transit to go to the... Well, I don't know, the training area for the aerobic fitness center.
Yes!
On Davis.
And now I can't anymore.
Yeah. You've seen this story? I don't know. If a dude wants to go to the strip club in his work van and his work clothes, and he happens to work for the county as a Flex Transit driver, it's maybe not the ideal choice. But... could he go in his work uni to, I don't know, Texas Roadhouse?
Yeah.
He can. Could.
Yeah.
How about to Hooters?
Of course.
Well, why Hooters and not the strip club?
I didn't say he could wear it to the club.
I mean, just saying, you know,
I mean, if that...
Like, where do you draw this line?
Letting...
It's obviously bad judgment. Okay, dude goes in his, you know, his work clothes from ECAT and the work bus. And I'm assuming it's on private time. I'm assuming he's not like between rides, so to speak.
Oh my goodness.
And on that note, we'll just move along.
Boy.
Can't believe you made that joke, John. That was in such bad taste.
Well, no.
Hey, if you're all right. So if, my God, I don't know what to do now.
I'm like, how do you follow that one up, buddy?
No, but seriously, like, what is the, I hate to say this. Everything I stand against. Is it in the employee manual that you can't wear your work uniform to a strip club? Is it a wrongful termination case? I mean, is it a bad look for the county? Yes. Was it bad judgment? Yes.
But
is it an actionable HR violation? But I think the Flex Transit folks aren't even permanent employees. I think they're probably contract employees.
Probably.
So the threshold's probably lower. Okay.
So, at least he had transportation there.
Move on. Hey, if you have plumbing, electrical, you have air conditioning or heating needs inside your home, Peden can take care of all of that stuff. You know, the company started... because the patriarch of the family, Robert Peden, back in 1969, he was hot in Panama City. He was hot, and he decided I'd like to not be hot. So he put an air in his own house and in his friend's house and his family's house, and eventually he's like, I could probably make money doing this, and so he started a company, and that's where we are today. You know, all of these years later, that's where Peden came from. Professional service, high quality installation, good products, standby at 100% satisfaction guarantee. So this month, for the rest of the couple more days there are left in August, you can soak into savings and trade in your old water heater with Peden and get $500 off a new tanked water heater, a traditional water heater, or $1,000 off a new tankless water heater. You can call or book online. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com. Oh, I'm getting all of the people laughing at the joke. 437-1620. The threshold is lower. However, the contractor has the same policy in order to work for the county. Yeah, I would figure, you know, and again, I don't know. Maybe there's a line item in the employee manual that says these are the places you cannot go in your work uniform. Or it probably says something about shall not represent yourself as an employee. And I don't know. There's probably something. It's probably not something you could, you know, litigate over. But it does strike me as a, though I understand. I mean, what if I can't believe I'm going down this road.
I know. That's why I'm letting you. Like, go for it, buddy.
Can't believe I'm spinning this pole. You know, if you, like, if a county commissioner goes to a strip club, do they get recalled? I mean, you can't recall a county commissioner, so I guess the answer is no.
But do they have that on their shirt?
Well, but everywhere they go, they represent the brand.
Oh.
You know? What if it's a, like, daytime meeting, you know, like a sales call?
Yeah. Buffet.
I don't know. Just, yes, it's not a good choice. Yes, it's good hilarity. But then again, I mean, look, don't wear a bright yellow vest that says ECAT into the strip club. This is not high quality choice making.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. In a few hours, President Trump will be holding a cabinet meeting in Washington, D.C. as he continues his crime crackdown. Yesterday, he signed executive orders targeting cashless bail.
The EO threatens to revoke federal funding from jurisdictions that allow the practice. Critics of cash bail say it puts an unfair burden on low-income people who can't afford to pay their way out of jail. But the president says the policy allows violent criminals to return to the streets.
And that's Fox's Madeline Rivera. The University of Colorado was the latest target in a string of swatting hoaxes at college campuses.
They told us on the loudspeaker from the SWAT vehicle to clear the area.
But as Fox 31 Denver's Shaul Turner reports,
what was happening in Boulder was also occurring on campuses across the nation. At the University of South Carolina, in Arkansas, Iowa, and Kansas, and last week at Villanova.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 71 right now here in Pensacola. FDOT has ordered the city of Pensacola to remove the Black Lives Matter mural on North A Street. The agency sent a letter to City Administrator Tim Kinsella last week saying the mural is a violation of FDOT's traffic control device standards. The city has until the 4th of September to remove the mural. If they don't, the state agency says they'll remove it and bill the city for the cost. Mayor D.C. Reeves plans to address the issue at his press conference later this morning. The mural's been on North A Street since 2020, when several local artists painted it during the wave of social justice protests that swept the nation. The mural was approved by the city at the time it was painted. Firefighters responded to a house fire this morning in the 4,000 block of Pine Forest Road. That call came in at about 2 a.m. Multiple units were called to the scene. Officials say the home had a long, narrow driveway, which caused some issues with the firefighters' response. They requested additional hoses because the ones on their trucks weren't long enough to reach the house from the end of the drive. The Bureau of Arson and Fire and Arson is investigating. So far, there's no word on the cause or whether anybody was hurt. Recent reports indicate two cases of flesh-eating bacteria, Vibrio vulnificus, in Escambia County, another two in Santa Rosa County. This follows a bigger trend across the state where the total number of cases has now reached 20, with five reported deaths this year. Vibrio vulnificus is typically found in warm, brackish seawater and can be contracted through raw or undercooked seafood or by exposing open wounds to contaminated water. Health officials are advising residents to use caution while swimming and to seek medical attention if you see any symptoms. Well, investors have been hoping for a Federal Reserve rate cut next month. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says there's a lot of considerations involved.
Major brokerages now expect a 25 basis point U.S. Federal Reserve rate cut in September, following Chairman Jerome Powell's shift in tone towards rising risk in the labor market. Markets are now pricing in an 87% chance of a quarter point rate cut at the September policy meeting. The rate-setting Federal Open Market Committee is scheduled to meet on September 16th and 17th. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Two Pensacola men have been sentenced to prison time for converting a pistol into a machine gun. 21-year-old Deontay Bettis and 19-year-old Kuhan Landrum both pleaded guilty to possession of a machine gun after Escambia County deputies seized a Glock pistol from Landrum, which had a conversion device attached. Investigators say Landrum obtained the weapon from Bettis, who also had several other firearms with similar conversion devices. The two had been, according to investigators, the two had been involved in trading firearms and narcotics. Landrum was sentenced to 3 years. Bettis was sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in prison. Well, we've got some more information today on that young child that was swept down a storm drain in Sarasota County. Officials say the girl is in critical condition after that freak accident over the weekend. The sheriff's office said she was playing near a culvert when a water main broke. The strong current pulled her into the drain. She wound up going 100 yards through that drainage system before she was found and taken to the hospital. The family says they are hoping for a miracle. It's 6:35, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're trying to get into the front gate of NAS Pensacola, the gate is backed up all the way to Sunset. So we'll get you more information on that, but thanks for the tip on that one. Also, if you're at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile, seen some minor delays going northbound and southbound, so just congestion delays in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 87. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. For Thursday, nice sunny weather with a high near 88 degrees. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 72 degrees. We've got sunshine this morning here in Pensacola. Our next news at 7, a breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. Treasury yields were mixed after President Trump moved to fire Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook from the central bank's board. The 10-year Treasury yield traded 2 basis points higher at 4.298%. The 2-year yield was nearly 2 basis points lower at 3.71%. Oil prices are sharply lower on the Russia-Ukraine supply concerns. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $63.67 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $67.71 per barrel. Trump has threatened 200% tariffs on China if Beijing does not export rare earth magnets to the U.S. Trump also said that airplane parts were a key leverage that Washington must counter Beijing's grip on rare earths. Henry Wang, president of a Beijing-based think tank, said Trump is bluffing and we should not get caught up in the rhetoric. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 349, the NASDAQ down 47, the S&P 500 down 27. That's your Money Now.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Okay, so it's gonna be about $1,200.
Wait, did you even figure out what was wrong?
Well, my guy said something about the flux capacitor. Oh, and we had some extra parts.
Extra parts? That's a no for me.
Don't settle for vague answers and mystery charges. Head to Garage 850 on Sun Valley Drive just off Michigan Avenue. Rusty and his ASE certified crew actually explain what's going on and get it done right. Specials online now at garage850.com.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket, a lawn chair, and relax and watch the sunset and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Shenanigans. They're not just a band, it's an experience. It's definitely not a show you just go to, it's a show you participate in. So don't miss Shenanigans this Tuesday night at 7 at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Surprise! Your expenses this month were way higher than you expected! Also, you forgot to renew your website domain, and now you're in a bidding war!
You should see the look on your face!
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises, because they cost you money. But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Plus, the fridge died in the break room, and now everything smells weird!
All right. Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State take on Alabama on Saturday, August 30th? It's time to tap the app with News Radio 92.3. Just download our News Radio app, and from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., you can enter for your chance to win. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands for this epic battle on August 30th. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin. Tap that app and get ready for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 640 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Brad Baker is a Santa Rosa County Administrator. He always joins us the Tuesday after the Monday committee meeting for the Santa Rosa County Commission. Brad, welcome back, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you for having me this morning.
Great to have you. Hey, can I just probably, you know, this is the kind of thing nobody thinks to say, except it suddenly occurs to me. The audio from the Tiger Point location for the committee meeting yesterday went perfect. Like, there was no problems. It works.
Yeah, the video wasn't great, but the audio did work.
Yeah, I don't watch the video. I record it and listen to it elsewhere. So fine for me. I'll take it. It was a win compared to, you know, some of the things we've had in the past. That's good.
Right.
Hey, let's start with, before we get into this week's material, let's start with something that's been kind of on the docket for a little while now. The unwillingness of Gulf Breeze and Milton to participate in the MSTU, which is the funding mechanism that you're using for the sheriff's office this year. And, you know, the sheriff, Johnson, has expressed some frustration about this. The numbers, when you add them up, seem to me to be about a $5 million gap. And so what I worried was, okay, if Gulf Breeze and Milton are not going to participate, then that means that there's about $5 million missing from the budget for the sheriff this year. Does that create a problem for other sources? Does that create a problem for the sheriff? You and I had talked about this a little bit offline. You know, you kind of answered my questions, but can you maybe tell people why it's not the problem that, even though it's not great, it's not the problem that it might appear to be?
Yeah, we had factored that in to balance the budget when we met with the sheriff. You know, obviously we would like them to join, but they do have their own police force. And really what drove this was, you know, the legislation is trying to do some things and trying to get more transparency and talking about, you know, eliminating property tax. So we were doing this to show the people, hey, this is what the sworn law enforcement component costs you in Santa Rosa County. You know, obviously the police departments, they have their own thing within both the municipalities. So it was really about being transparent and trying to show the people, because if we eliminate property tax, there's going to have to be some replacement or a fee for service. And obviously we know we want law enforcement to be strong in Santa Rosa County to keep our crime rate low.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it was kind of surprising because at first it seems like great news. If you're a Gulf Breeze resident, hey, two mills, woohoo, off your tax bill. And if you're a Milton resident, one mill, because they're going to increase their own internal by a mill to generate some revenue. But then when you start thinking about the impact of the county, like, oh, that's bad. So you guys had factored this in. Also, just to clear up a maybe misunderstanding, you had talked with the city managers, for both Gulf Breeze and Milton long enough in advance that if they had been interested in participating, they could have opted in. Is that right?
We did. We talked with them before we even discussed the three different options, and then talked to them right after the vote to only continue with the LEMSTU. So multiple times, yes.
Okay, so there was that opportunity. I just wanted to, because that had been kind of an uncertainty, I think. You know, there had been a question about, yes. Well, did the time...
No, I didn't talk to their city councils because that's not my job.
Oh, right. I mean, you know, you're the...
with the manager.
You're the administrator. The manager is supposed to talk to the city council. Right. One of the things, hey, just this is a small thing, but I happen to encounter it, and I know other people care about this stuff, too. My wife and I have recently been starting boating at the very, like, the kiddie pool end of the boating, but we use the Oriole Beach boat ramp, also Woodlawn Beach, which is great. Woodlawn Beach is fantastic. We just used that over the weekend, but the previous weekend we used Oriole Beach. That is a treacherous mess. I know it's in the process of getting fixed, but where does that stand right now?
Yeah, so we're struggling with boater registration funds. The Marine Advisory Committee recently voted to do an increase to allow us to generate more revenue to fix our boat ramps. You know, obviously trying to generate money for specific stuff other than roads and public safety is a challenge. You know, obviously our two priorities are, you know, public safety and infrastructure.
Right.
While you can say boat ramps are infrastructure, obviously, there are way more people interested in the roads than the boat ramps. But yes, if we are moving forward, obviously, we'll have to discover, you know, what the board wants to do as far as, do we want to expand the parking lot? What are we going to do with the ramp? And then identify a funding source. And we'll be talking capital allotment in September for our upcoming October with our capital funding plan.
I know the answer will depend entirely on what end result you're going to accomplish, as you just said. But, I mean, are we talking like $500,000, $3 million? What's the swag on the cost of making the Oriole Beach?
Yeah, for that one, I think, if I remember right, it's in the $1.5 to $2 million range.
Okay. I kind of guessed that might be, but I was curious because you would know a lot better. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. We'll be back with Brad in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Very interesting discussion yesterday. People have all kinds of opinions about this Navarre Community Access Road, which, I know Colton Wright, Commissioner Wright, had tried to explain how it's really not meant to be just a straight-up bypass of 98. But can you maybe just clarify a little bit what this thing is designed to accomplish, what is not designed to accomplish, and where we are? Because the last I understood was it was basically a 30 or 35-mile-an-hour expansion of an existing road, and it kind of had gotten nowhere. We got into the, this is what we think we might do, but there's no funding for it and there's no real final design for it. But you tell me, you're the expert.
Yeah, so that's the concept, is to be able to move local traffic to and from the businesses on 98, adjoining subdivisions, et cetera, to alleviate some of the traffic on 98 to allow that to be the through traffic. So it is not a Navarre bypass. It's a Navarre access road to allow access between all the different spaces on 98 to keep you from having to hit 98 to go to a Publix or go to the Ace Hardware, et cetera.
Okay. And am I right that there's no real finalized design and also there's no funding just yet?
Yeah, that's correct. We are in the early stages of planning. The PD&E is, we just did an extension on that for both it and Chemucla Highway so they could complete that. So, yeah, it's very early on. It hasn't went to design. The route hasn't been decided. And, you know, that's the fun stuff about Facebook and social media. When you pose a question like, the county is planning to do a bypass of 98 to funnel traffic through your neighborhood when they have East Bay Boulevard already, do you oppose this or you support it? Well, obviously, that's not a fair question, right?
Right.
So we're dealing with that, and it's just the world we're in now, so... but that is not accurate. It's not to bypass 98. It's to really do an access road. Now, if there's a bad wreck on 98, people need to get to Hulbert Field. Obviously, they will use that.
Mm-hmm.
We know people are very resourceful, but it is a low-speed design that will prove walkability and drainage in those areas.
The one of the other things that you guys talked actually quite a bit about yesterday was the wastewater treatment plant and impact fees. And I will be honest, I kind of zoned out during this discussion, but can you maybe explain what the proposal is, what it's going to accomplish, how much we're talking about? It sounded like it was a pretty high number, but that the builders are like, we can, you know, we can make this all work. So you tell me, what's the discussion and what are they going to be voting on Thursday?
Yeah, and the main point of our wastewater treatment plant over in that area is for industrial growth. And we have several companies that committed, but we had to provide them sewer capacity by the first part of 2027.
And so this is for the wastewater treatment plant on the industrial park south of I-10 on 87. So we're talking East Milton. That's what we're talking about, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, obviously, if we're going to build it in the city of Milton doesn't have capacity, we're going to build it for capacity for development as well. But the underlying cause of this was we needed capacity for our industrial parks to bring high-paying jobs in to support our community. So with that being said, we were directed to set this up as an enterprise account. So to make an enterprise work, you have to have zero tax dollars. So we have to be able to pay the note and expand for future growth. So that's why the impact fees and the tap fees. Total for tap fees and impact fees, I believe, was $15,500.
Wow. That's residential?
That is residential, and it goes up for commercial.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm glad I asked. So $15,000 for a new house to be connected to the new wastewater treatment plant that you guys are building for the industrial park in that area.
We're not factoring any capacity to, at this time, to go into subdivisions that already have septic.
Oh, sure.
And force them to go to sewer. This is for
new
industrial growth. And then we have had a couple of subdivisions approach us and say they are interested in connecting to the wastewater, because if you have a ability to do quarter acre lots, our code says you have to be on septic. So.
Okay. So this will allow them to develop a little bit more. Did I have it right? They can develop a little bit more density, which is to raise their profit. But at the same time, the trade-off is they're going to have to put an impact fee in order to qualify for that. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So not for, I mean, if we want to get there. We want to get, especially around our waterways, we want to get those off of septic.
Right.
But when you do a septic to sewer conversion, you can write that in the grant. You can waive some of the fees. So this is not for current residents. This is for future residents and primarily for industrial growth, because we had a couple of companies that would only commit once we signed the contract to build the plant.
Got it. Okay. And sort of on that note, in the Escambia County Commission meeting, there was a very weird kind of announcement. They were talking about an unrelated issue about the final approval for a subdivision, and there was a dispute over a woman who'd gotten a fence knocked down by the developer, and it was its own separate drama. But in that conversation, the city attorney, Allison, or the county attorney, Allison Rogers, told the board something that I had not heard before, which is that they don't have final plat approval for subdivisions anymore, that is by state law been given to the staff, that it doesn't even come to the commissioners anymore for a vote. Is that right?
That is correct. And that was another one of those attempts from the state to preempt the local government. And while we voiced some opposition to it, it did pass. So we've enacted it. And you'll see one on our board meeting yesterday. It was information only. It was just making the board and the public aware of a final plat that was approved, but we cannot take it to the board for approval. If it meets our code, we must approve it at the staff level. So we developed a policy we took to the board a couple meetings ago that allows the county engineer and a couple others, if the engineer is out, to do that approval so we meet the statutory requirements.
But I know I'm kind of asking you to elaborate on something that you opposed and did not pass, because it's not your baby, it's the legislature's baby. But I'm just kind of baffled by the idea that the county commissioners hire a county administrator. The county administrator hires a whole bunch of staff. The staff are accountable to you. You're accountable to them. And yet in all this process, the ability to final approve a plat subdivision by law now rests with a subordinate, indirect subordinate of the county commission, and they have no say in the final approval. I mean, am I reading this right? It's crazy to me.
Yeah, they're only saying it is what they put in the code. If it meets our code, we have to do it in a certain time frame and approve it.
Wow. I mean, I guess the public could go to meet at one of the, planning or zoning board or planning board or something. But, I mean, that takes the public's conversation out of it as well if they have concerns, right?
It does. So, you know, it's once the rezoning is done, it's pretty much not going to go back to the board, except what we're going to do with this information only, just so we're transparent that, hey, this one was approved. Nothing you can do about it, but it was approved.
God, that's just breathtaking. I mean, I was worried I was overreacting to this, but hearing you talk about it, it's worse than I thought. So, wow. Okay, well, thank you, legislature. Brad Baker, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator for Santa Rosa County. Brad, as always, thank you for the time explaining things, clarifying things, debunking things. I always appreciate that. And thank you for all the good work that you do running the county. You've been doing a great job. But we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You bet. 654 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, why would you want the elected officials accountable to the people to be able to final approve a plat of subdivision or anything? I mean, it's not like we've always done it that way. Good gravy. That's crazy. And again, I just want to be clear. Brad opposed this. The county commission, and I'm sure this can be the same, like they were on, didn't want this. This has been imposed by Tallahassee. So, yikes. Hey, if you are an employer, you have employees you have to deal with, you know, benefits and payroll and HR management. You got to provide health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, all the good stuff. People want that stuff. And, you know, you'd like to save a buck and them to save a buck and everybody to get good stuff. Well, how to manage that? It can be a little bit tricky. Well, Torgerson Consulting, they take care of this stuff. They've been doing this for more than two decades here locally, local business owners just like you. For us here at News Radio and Cat Country, they've been managing our benefits for about 4.5 years now, and they've been great. Better plans than we had before, better choices than we had before. I mean, it's still a sucky marketplace out there. They can't manufacture greatness out of nothing, but they can find us the best of what's available. And they have consistently done that. And I very much appreciate that. And I appreciate that they're so responsive with customer service. Just a minor customer service thing the other day. Called them, took care of it right away. No problem. Easy. So I'm a big fan. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Sometimes an identity threat is a ring of professional hackers. And sometimes it's an overworked accountant who forgot to encrypt their connection while sending bank details.
I need a coffee.
And you need LifeLock, because your info is in endless places. It only takes one mistake to expose you to identity theft. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick-and-mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer-specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
In three, be nice.
Oh, man, John, you and I were talking a little bit about the Haboob in Phoenix that people were driving through yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
On, is this I-10? Is that where this was? I mean, it looks like it. It could be 17, I suppose. But Boy, I remember the day we left Phoenix, one of the best days of my life. leaving Phoenix. Seeing Cheyenne, Wyoming in my rearview mirror was a great day. Seeing Phoenix, Arizona in my rearview mirror was a great day. You know, but we drove through a Haboob going west, going up to Oregon. And yeah, man, it's scary. Have you driven through one before?
No, I haven't.
Dust storms? Oh, no. Yeah. Like tractor trailers pull over and you're like,
My son FaceTimed me. Oh, and he was like, can you believe this? And I'm like, no.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's like what you see in a movie is what it is. It's,
right.
This is one of those rare times when fiction gets it right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. The Republican-led House Oversight Committee issuing a subpoena for documents held by the estate of Jeffrey Epstein. They're moving ahead with the probe into Epstein with a request for his will. Documents resembling a client list or black books containing his contacts, flight logs, or birthday letters from his friends. The Department of Defense being ordered by President Trump to establish special National Guard units specifically trained to deal with public order issues. The executive order comes as the possibility of using troops to enforce law and order in more American cities.
You said it was the Department of Defense. That's not true. He's making it the Department of War again.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923.